Brother, you can sing, you can preach, you can do whatever you want to. But about 8:10, I'm going to go to Cracker Barrel, so just keep that in mind.
They'll be open at 9, brother. Amen. This is an exciting time, an exciting season. Children are getting out of school. They're graduating. Parents are trying to figure out what they're going to do. They're running around looking babysitters and trying to find jobs for the children. Graduation day. How many can remember the day that you graduated? Now, how many can remember what color robe you had on? Mine was gray. Yours might have been different. Blue, white, green. But guess what? We all were excited about that day. We've gone through it. We finished it. Thank the Lord. And praise His holy name. Hallelujah. You know, what about the day that we graduate to heaven? What kind of robe will we have on that day? What kind of gown will we be wearing that day? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10. The Word says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. I want to speak to us a few minutes tonight. What robe are you wearing? Would you pray, Heavenly Father? I pray tonight, Lord, that You would have Your way in this service. Lord, that everything will be done and said, Lord Jesus, that's pleasing to You. Touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to receive Your word. May Your word go forth. In Your holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Because of the sin nature and being born in sin, we all wore the wrong robe in life. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His precious blood, that robe of sin was taken away and we were given a robe of salvation. We were given a robe of righteousness. Now follow with me tonight. We're going to look at some different parables in the Bible. We're going to look at some different stories. I want to bring them in and tie it together in the end about the robe. Luke tells us of a man that had 100 sheep. You knew the story well. He lost that one sheep. And he went searching for the sheep. Jesus went searching for you and me when we were lost. And when that man had found that sheep, what did he do? He called for his neighbors to come. He called for his friends to come. Come on over, we're going to celebrate. I'm cooking a big meal. We're going to rejoice because my sheep is found. In the heavenly angels rejoice when we were found. We find in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses. There's a cloud of witnesses when Jesus washes our robe. Though our sins be scarlet, though they be as red as crimson red, He gives us this new robe of righteousness. It's white and clean. There are no spots and no blemishes and no wrinkles on that robe. I know the Hebrew chapter in 11 is the chapter of faith. A cloud of witnesses are found. That faith chapter is, we can see that through faith in God, how God came through for them. And He will come through for us every time by faith. His word says in Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So I know every one of you sitting here tonight have got more faith than a grain of mustard seed. If you were not, you'd be sitting where you were right now. See, I don't know all that goes on in heaven when sinners' names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just as the man that found his lost sheep, he called his friends and he called his neighbors around. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. It says, likewise I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now you might have got saved one day, one night, 1 hour, 1 month. It doesn't matter when you got saved. But the thing is, there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Notice this. It didn't say the angels were rejoicing. He said they're in the presence of the angels. Well, who is in the presence of the angels? Your loved ones that's gone on to meet God. Your loved ones that's waiting on the other shore. They are in the presence of the angels. I wonder sometimes if our loved ones could hear our names when it's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and it's broadcast out across heaven. And they begin to praise God, and they begin to call for the friends that they have already met in heaven, the ones that they grew up with, the ones that they knew, and they were in heaven, and they hear your name as it's being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they begin to praise God, and they begin to rejoice in the presence of the angels, and with the angels say, my lost loved one has come home. Now you may say, well, how? That is hard to understand. How would they hear? How would they know? Well, let's look at a situation in the Bible. We find that the rich man and Lazarus, you know that story very well. The angels came and took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man opened his eyes in hell, being in torment. He didn't say that he lost his memory. He didn't say he couldn't remember what was going on. He knew where he was at. He knew back on earth, he told his father Abraham, send someone to my five brothers that's on earth. He hadn't lost his memory, so he knew where he was at. So we say, how does our loved ones know? And, you know, Father Abraham said, if he's not going to believe the prophets and Moses, he won't believe somebody if he sent them back from the dead. So in Revelation 6 and 10, look at this. The souls that were killed in tribulation under the altar of God, and I'm not probably going to read this word for word if you see it on the screen, for their testimony. They were crying out for revenge of the blood of them that dwell on the earth. Those that were under the throne of God knew what had happened to them here on earth. They knew they had to give their life to get where they were. And the Lord said, just wait a little longer, just a little bit longer till your brethren have to go through the same thing you done. And they gave them a white robe to wear. And we say heaven wouldn't be heaven if we could see, if our loved ones could, we could see them here on earth. You know, it never said your memory will be vanished, but it does say this in Revelation 21 and 4, that God's going to wipe away all tears. He's going to make everything new, new heavens and new earth. There's not going to be any more death, no more sorrow. He's going to change everything. So you may remember up to a point. I don't know. I don't claim to know. But it's just one opinion that I come up with. If the rich man knew, if these people here that were killed during tribulation is going to know, why wouldn't we know some things that's going on? And I didn't say you know what they're doing, but you remember they're your loved ones, they're your family. You want them to come home. See, we know the story very well of the five foolish wise and virgin, five that was wise, five that was foolish. All of them at one time had on a righteous robe. They all wore that righteous robe, but five of them began to slow down and not run the race. As Paul said, I have run this race. I finished my course. He had his eyes on the goal. But people over a period of time, dullness to the word, unconcerned about their salvation. We see it every day. People have grown to the point that they're not really concerned anymore. Well, I've been saved 10, 15, 20 years, and they've grown cold on the Lord. Spots and blemishes and wrinkles began to appear on their robes. They forgot that Jesus said that he was coming back after a glorious church, a church that was holy without flaws and imperfections. And the only way that's going to happen is if you are wearing the robe of righteousness. You see, our robes were filthy rags. But the blood of the Lamb, he wears, he washes us in the robe of salvation. The Bible says for us to watch and pray that we'll be counted worthy. But see, a lot's quit watching and a whole lot's quit praying. And we don't know if you're going to be counted worthy or not because we're slack. And the Bible says if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I didn't say that's what Jesus said. Here's one reason that we really need to come to church, to assemble ourselves together, to draw close as we hear the sound of the trumpet. You know, not too long ago, many of you may have seen it. I don't know, but I saw it. There was a situation in different places of the earth. They began to hear sounds in the heavens. And some of them would sit on there, and when they were talking to them, they said, it sounds like trumpets. Wouldn't that be great? The trumpet of God's getting ready to sound. I just say, well, you're just practicing, getting warmed up. That's how close we are. We say we're at the door. I say the trumpet's at the lips. Almost. You know, you can wash your clothes every week with laundry detergent because you want them to be clean. You want them to be nice. And sometimes Satan slings some attitude of fleshly mud on our righteous robes. And spots of wrong thinking appear. Spots of blemishes of judgment with attitudes. Spots of wrinkles by following the wrong voice. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Too many today are following the wrong voice. You want to hear the right voice, it's right here. That word will speak to you. And I love it when you've got something on your heart and mind, you can open the Bible and it'll fall right to it and your eyes will hit it. I said, "Thank you, God, that's exactly what I was looking for." But you see, if we're not careful, we'll be walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. A rose will begin to get stained. So how can we keep them clean? Look at Psalms 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Yes, we know tonight we're flesh and blood. But what did Jesus say? "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." But we've got to use the greater that he that's in us. We've got to be led by him. We've got to hear what he's saying for us to do to overcome the enemy. And even when we slip up, we make mistakes. If we come to him and ask for forgiveness, and you don't see, the Bible says you can be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So every night we need to make sure, we need to check in with heaven and make sure everything is right. Even during the day. In my mind, daily, in my mind, I'm constantly thinking about the Lord. Constantly praying in my mind and heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Jesus will wash your sins away. He will cleanse your robe up. Though you falter and fail and slip and slide sometimes, and we do, we're human. I don't think anybody, well, it's like they always say, I hear them say all the time, "You ain't wearing a halo," and I know I'm not. But praise God, I know who can put one there. It might be during the rapture. But that's what I'm looking for. The Bible said that though a just man falls seven times, he'll get back up. He won't stay down. Why? Because he knows what God will do for him. He knows that Jesus will take care of him. He will see to it that David, he put David right back where he was. David fell, but yet he put him right back where he was. And when we fall, when we fail, God's not going to kick you under the rug and say, "You got to wait 9 years for this and 7 years for that." He's going to put you right back, start right back on the same road you were on, and do it all over again. It's a story beyond the coat of many colors. And I know that because at one time I wore a coat of many colors. You see, I grew up in the church. And I was, how many grew up in the church? Praise God, you know what I'm talking about now, because at some point in the day you were a teenager. And as a teenager, man, I wanted to hang out on Tuesdays, Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturday nights with my buddies. That was me. I wanted to be around my buddies. But I can tell you one thing. Daddy made sure Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Friday night, YP, and every night of revival, this boy was in church. And thank God he did. But, you know, teenagers, sometimes we want to kind of get that. Have you ever had a rebellious spirit as a teenager? Am I the only one? Praise God. I got a couple hands anyway. I had that rebellious. I wanted to do it my way. And back then, see, we had that old RCA TV, which took me 20 years to convince Dad we needed one. It wasn't a devil in it. But we finally got one. And sometime during the time that we had that, it broke down. And he had to call for the serviceman to come service that TV. And Daddy watched him. He took the back of the television off and took that little bitty tube out that was bad. So my rebellious spirit, I said, I'm going to stay home and watch TV. That didn't work. He'd already read my mail. He said, "I tell you what, you can stay home if you want to. I'm going to take the tube out of the TV and take it with me." I said, "Okay, I'll go to church and sit with my buddies on the back row and just talk and wait till the preacher says, And Daddy calls me up front, sit with him. You know what that means. But praise God. But that was me. But in church, at that young age, younger than a teenager, I mean, they used to preach them hellfire and brimstone messages. Man, I'm going to tell you one thing. It was, I can tell you the fear that it would put in my life and heart. They're going to hang you over hell and cut the string. Now, that'll get to your mind, especially as a child. The things that, and it just stayed with me. And I would go home at night, and I was so afraid. I'd ball up in a ball at the end of the bed, wrapped up. I didn't want to stick my head out because there were hands touching me. I could feel actual hands touching my body. I knew it was the demons of hell, and if I looked out under that cover, I knew they were going to get me. Why? Because I had a spotted robe on. My robe had blemishes on it, and I knew I was doing it wrong. So I had the coat of many colors, but thank the Heavenly Father, He spared my life, gave me space to repent, cleaned me up, took that old muddy robe, washed it in the Word. And then another place in the Bible, I was looking at one day and I said, you know, I've been there. That's me, the prodigal son. I can put my place where he was at. See, he left home with an inheritance. I left home with no inheritance, yet I had one. Mine was my spiritual home in heaven, my eternal home in heaven. My inheritance, I was letting go down the path of, actually, no return, because God could have took my life at any time. So I was the lost sheep that wandered away, and I thank God that He found me. Just like the prodigal son's hog pen, mine was the lust of the eye, the pride of life, lust of the flesh, material things. Every human being has been tempted by these three at some point in your life. Look at what John tells us in 16:33, the last part of that verse. In the world you will have tribulation. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. Jesus said they hated Him. They're going to hate you. You're going to have things that's thrown against you. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There is a way of escape, but you've got to make up your mind that you're going to be the one that escapes through Jesus Christ and what He done. Because why? Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. This is why. For we do not have an high priest who is unable and cannot feel our infirmities, but was in all, say all, was in all points tempted as we are, yet He did not sin. He's the only way and the only one that can wash my sins away. He's been there. He's done that. All the tests and trials you could ever go through. It's like every disease that comes on your body, He took a stripe on His back for that disease. It don't matter if it's a disease off a disease and keep right on going. Those stripes on His back were for your and my healing. The prodigal son, he realized that his robe was stained with the mud of the hog pen. He knew where he'd come from. He knew in his father's house there was food, there was clothing, there was warmth. I knew walking down the wrong road where I needed to be. I knew what was waiting at the altar for me. I knew the presence of God. I knew the glory of God. I knew what the Holy Ghost meant. I had been filled with the Holy Ghost. I wandered away. I became slack. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that did that as a teenager, but that was just me. But God's convicting power was calling me all the time. You can't never go too far. You're not going to outrun the long arm of the sheriff. He's going to catch you. And He's going to pull you in because He loves you. He wants you to do right. And so he said, well, you know, I'm in this hog pen. I'm going home. I'm going to my father's house. And I can see him, as Brother Ricky said the other night. His father saw him coming. He goes out to meet him. And he's telling his servants, you put on the best robe that we've got. That's my son. Take that stained robe off of him. Take that robe of the mud or the hog pen off of him. I don't care what he's done. His sins are in the sea of forgiveness for me. I'm the father. He's the son. He's coming home. And praise God. I thank God that he made a way for me. See, my heavenly Father send us, as Jesus said he would, the Holy Ghost, to make me see that I was wearing the wrong robe. He reached way down for me. I love that old song. He pulled me up out of the hog pen of sin. He washed my spiritual robe that Jesus had already cleansed on Calvary. What I had to do was seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, believe on him, repent for my sins. We need to thank God tonight, sitting right here, that we still have the opportunity to worship God, to get our hearts right for God, the opportunity to redo our lives as far as what we used to do when you do things wrong. He said, remember your first works and do them over again. The five virgins didn't have that opportunity to redo theirs. Let Jesus get the spots and blemishes and the wrinkles out of your robes. Why a white robe? What does it mean? You know, there's a lot of things, the righteousness of Christ, and there's many things you can say that a white robe means. Three things I was thinking about, actually 4 o'clock one morning, that came to my mind. I wrote them down. It says to be in Christ. It's to be forgiven and delivered from sin. It is to be given a spotless robe. That you're cleaned up. You're a new creature. You've been born again. And then it's to be like Christ. It's to keep unspotted from the world. In other words, he says, come you out from among them. Don't go back down there. Once you get saved, don't go back down there. The devil will draw you away. Every chance he gets, he's going to put stumbling blocks in front of you. Whatever the devil can do, especially when you first come back to God or give your heart to God, the devil's going to try to everything he can, send everything your way he can to get you to give up on him. But come ye out from among them, stay clean by confessing your and forgiveness, walk in the light of his word. Then the third thing I thought about was to be with Christ. One day, hallelujah, in a white robe, we're going to walk with Jesus. You know, the message of the gospel, the good news, we know the good news. But let me tell you a little bit more about good news. God's got a party plan. God has got a party plan. But only those that are dressed properly can get in. Unless you are clothed with the bright white garments of glory, you will be excluded. Now, Matthew 22, Jesus gives us a parable of the king that was going to have a wedding. I'm not going to read the whole thing, chapter 22, 1 through 14. You know, you've heard it many times, no doubt. I just wanted to look at Matthew 22, verse 11 and 12. It says, when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Then he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment on? The man, he was speechless. He didn't know what to say. Can you imagine being in a room, everybody's got white clothes on, and you standing there with green? Well, this is what happened to this guy. And he said, cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing teeth. See, the wedding garments are supplied by the king. So he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. He was saying, you have on your own garment, which is self-righteousness. You have refused my garment, which is the righteousness of Christ. The wrong robe will not get you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Jesus said this in John 10 and 1. Look at this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he also said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you. You might have come in the wrong door. You come in the wrong way. You're not going to work your way into the kingdom of God. You're not going to work your way into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You are considered a thief and a robber. He doesn't even know you. Everybody around you may know you. We can fool people all the time, but you're never going to fool the Heavenly Father. There's no other way except through Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus was telling us in this parable, that he is the way. You can't come up another way. There's only one way to get your garments white, and that's through the blood of the Lamb. You know, you can buy all the soap, name brand soap in the world. It's not going to wash that robe white. And you could scrub. You know, Mama used to have, now the older people know, the young ones wouldn't. We called it a foot tub. It had an old scrub board. It had an old wringer. And Mama would get out on that back porch and I'd stand there and watch her. And she would scrub and scrub and scrub and she got them clothes clean. Well, you can scrub all day long. You're never going to get that robe of righteousness clean. Good works is not going to get it clean. It's going to fail. Only those that are washed in Calvary's blood shed for you and me will have the white, right fitness for the joys of heaven. What do you think that we're going to be the ones, no other group's going to be able to sing that song of the redeemed? Because we're giving praise to God that sent his only begotten Son, praise to the Lamb that gave his life. Nobody else can sing that but you and I. See, the saints, they're not going to be in heaven congratulating each other, patting herself on the back saying, man, I was a spot remover. That don't work. You're not a spot remover. But you're going to recognize that all the whiteness in their garments is due because of the grace of God and what he done for us. I want to tell this because when I was getting this message up, came to my mind about robes. And I've told it before. Some of you never heard it. Some of you have. But when I was probably 6, 7 years old, you know, back in when I was coming up in our house, me and my brother would sleep on this bed, and across this little aisle here was another bed my other brother slept in. And this screen door in the back porch was in between the beds. Back in those days, you could leave the door open and hadn't to worry about anything. You could leave the windows open. You don't have to worry about nothing. Now you got to have bodyguards, security counselors, you got to have everything, guns. You better be ready. Double bolt locks. But at that particular time, being that young, they used to bring your loved ones to your home when they died. And that's the way, I don't know if you even had a funeral home back then. I was too little to know, but I do know they brought grandmother to the house. And you could look in the casket and see her, but they had like a plexiglass over it. And I don't know how many days she was there. But after a little while, sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I felt something shaking my big toe. And I woke up. And I was just as wide awake as half of you are here tonight. Amen. But I was awake. And I saw my grandmother. That was pretty good. Thank you, Lord. I saw my grandmother standing there. And she looked like she was 30 years old, but she was my grandmother. But that wasn't what really caught my attention. It was that beautiful, white, glowing, glistening robe she had on. It just amazed me. But it was peace. I couldn't describe the peace. And I watched her. She walked between the beds out through the screen door. Stood on the back porch. I threw the covers off me. I got up out of bed. I undone that little safety latch. You know, it's going to keep all the, we call them boogers back then, keep them out. Went and stood beside her. And I stand there and I was just amazed at that beautiful white robe. That's the only thing I could see. In just a few minutes, my grandmother floated down the steps. She floated across the backyard and she turned and she was gone like lightning. So white robes are symbols of joy, of the victory of the cross. But the most important thing is that we can do in this life is be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb by accepting Jesus Christ. The only way we can do that is put our trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, as Lord. And when you do that and ask Him to forgive your sins, you believe in your heart that you've been forgiven, then you've got on the right road. You know, in Bible days over in the Mideast, men didn't wear pants, they wore robes. And they were just as proud of that robe as you are a suit. They were glad about it. And Joseph, he had a coat of many colors. Man, that made him the best dressed man in his big family. But them brothers, they were jealous. It was a garment of great value. Value that showed it was an expression of his father's affection towards him. Just as God's affection is toward you and I, he gives us Jesus Christ's robes of righteousness. Wealth was often determined back then by the number of garments that you possessed. Now I begin to think about Samson. You know, Samson, he was usually seen as half-bare because he wanted to go around flexing his muscles. But you know what his goal really was? He wanted to become the best-dressed man in Israel, and I can prove it by God's Word. In Judges 14th chapter, he was at a feast. And he said, I want some clothes. He made a riddle with 30 people, 30 men. He said, now if you can solve this riddle, if you can't solve it, if you solve it, I'll give you 30 linen sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you don't solve it, you got to give it to me. He might have wanted to start a clothing store. I don't know. That's just Samson. But Samson was confident that he was going to start out married life with a huge wardrobe. It turned out he lost. He had to pay those 60 garments to those men. So he wanted to be, what are you going to do with 60 garments? 30 garments, what are you going to do? You can't wear that. Well, you can wear one a day, I guess, for a month. So what does it really mean? It shows that, listen to this, lady, clothes to a man means just as much as clothes to a woman. But guess what? It also means a lot to God. Because God, many places in the Bible, told the priests what to be ordained in, what to wear, what they should sacrifice the animals in, the beauty and the jewelry they had on. Psalms 91, verse 3, it says, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord's robe is clothed with strength. And in Psalms 104, verses 1 and 2, it says, O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor, majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment. Now, if we had the opportunity to try to look at God's wardrobe, it would blind your eyes. It'd be like looking at the sun. You couldn't do it. But God demanded holy garments to be worn while here on this earth. For those that were serving Him, what will He demand when we are before Him in heaven? You'll find that answer in the book of Revelations. It's in there. Not just so that we can be satisfied of curiosity, but because clothing has a symbolic meaning. John makes this clear that there is no going back to the Garden of Eden of innocent nudity, but a moving ahead. It has a divine dress of the garments of glory. Did you know, let me know that Jesus modeled that robe at one time? You know He did? I'll show you in just a minute. When He walked on the earth, His daily garment was doubtless a fine quality, a special robe of great value. And I can prove that too. The soldiers at the cross gambled to possess that robe. I'm going to go just a little bit deeper. You might not have heard this before, but this is my opinion. You remember when Peter cut off the soldier's ear and Jesus put it back on? I believe that soldier was one of the four. I want that robe. I want to be able to tell my grandchildren, that man there, he was the Son of God. He is the one that healed my ear. I believe he was in that group of four. Maybe I'm wrong, but just my opinion. His daily attire had to be attractive. To convince a seriously sick woman, just let me touch the hem of His garment. She had faith just in His garment. She knew who was in the garment. She knew He was the man. But if I could just touch that robe He's got on. You can do that tonight. You can touch Him tonight, and He will answer. Praise His holy name. His earthly clothes. Yes, they were of fine quality, but still they were earthly clothes. Only briefly did He model the garment of glory. He did that on the Mount of Transfiguration. Mark chapter 9, verse 3. His garments became glistening intensely, white as snow. No bleach in the world could ever make them that white. Matthew 17 and 2 says His garments became white as light in the last part of that verse. Only one other time do you find disciples to ever see a white as that. And that's when they saw the visitors from heaven at the tomb. The angels, bright white clothing. Matthew 28:3 says the angels that were at the tomb, their clothes looked like as white as snow. 17 times in Revelations, we find the word white. Jesus stresses over and over, promise to those that conquer, to those that overcome, that he will walk with him in white. Twice the vast multitudes of heaven are described as being clothed in white. We're coming back in white and on white horses. Not only that, the Lord loves white clothing so much. Chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 17, the last part of the verse. And will give him a white stone. And in the stone, not on the stone, in the stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it. How many knows there's a secret in heaven? You're going to have a secret in heaven. Ain't nobody going to know your name that's in that stone. It's in it, not on it. He's going to give you a new name, a personal name. You're going to be known as you're known. You're going to know your loved ones. You're going to know Peter, Paul, and John. Peter and Paul. John, hallelujah. Yeah, I'm married too. But you're going to know him. You're going to know David. But you're going to be able, I believe, sometime during the eternity, maybe God just wants to have a chit-chat with you. You got a new name in there, and only you and him knows it. Maybe he's going to do, Jesus said, you're going to sit with me in my throne. So maybe he'll call you in someday. See, we find in 2nd, and I want to read this real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 and 13. I didn't have that written down. Sorry, Brother Blue. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blamelessness. We're not to look back at our past, our spotted past. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to turn around and see what was behind. He wants to put it back on you. But we need to look towards the future of the garments of Christ. So I'm asking tonight, what robe am I wearing? What robe are you wearing? Are there spots and blemishes and wrinkles on your robe? One thing you don't want to do is miss the rapture. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, for we will have the right to the tree of life to enter in the gates of the city. See, our clothing defines pretty much who we are. Some, you can tell their status in life in society, but if you see a guy that's dressed in a robe and a crown, well, he's probably a king of some country. If you see a priest with a white collar and a long black robe and whatever they wear on the head, well, he's a priest. And you know a policeman, you know a serviceman, so pretty much defines who they are in society. Most today try to size up a person by how he or she is dressed. Whether we admit it or not, clothing has a huge, makes a huge difference. Mark Twain said, clothes make the man. I thought it was surreal. 20 or 30 years ago, well, maybe it was Wonder Bread they talk. Wonder Bread makes you. But 20 or 30 years ago, you would have never thought entering the church without being in your Sunday best. Now we come in, we dress casual, and that's fine. But see, we judge people by what the outer man does. God looks on the heart. God looks on the spiritual part. I did not see, and if you can find it, let me know, the dress code that's in the book to tell you got to do that before you get saved. I didn't see where Jesus gave us a dress code. He said, just believe on him. So we are, yes, we are to walk and talk and look like a Christian and we're representing Christ. But even hypocrites can do that. So why not stop judging people through the natural eyes and do what the Bible says do? You will know them by the fruit they bear. You know that tree by the fruit they bear. I'm going to go ahead and ask. I'm going to have to cut this thing short if you want to come on up. Hallelujah. Brother Nelson often says, we're being washed by the Word. Remember that? So now that the Word has washed us and cleansed our robes, don't hang them out to dry. Don't hang them out to die out. Don't hang them out to lose them. Don't hang them out to change colors. Always keep your robe fresh in the Word of God. We should come and receive His Word every time we get, every chance we get, every time the doors is open, to refresh ourselves, to keep our robe spotless from the world. We need to walk in a spotless robe. Yes, I know many times we falter and fail, but I can tell you, we often say that the children are watching you. But I can tell you something else. Everybody's watching you. It ain't just the children. Your influence and what you do during the day, where you're at, what you say, everybody's watching you. They listen to what you're saying. You're saying you're a Christian, but are you doing what the Christian should do? I'm going to go ahead and close this, brother, and let you go ahead and sing. Just for a few minutes tonight, go ahead and stand. I'm going to close this early. I just want you to think for yourself and meditate on your own heart and mind. Is my robe as clean as it should be? Sometime this week, has Satan thrown mud from the hog pen to stain my robe? Have I said something wrong, done something wrong, thought something wrong? Maybe you got a clean robe, and you just want to make sure it's fresh and clean as He would have it be. So I'm just going to ask you where you're standing right now. Just close your eyes, talk to the Lord on your own. If you want to come to the altar, it's open. That's entirely up to you. Just think about what He's done for you. He's given you a robe of righteousness. He's given you the robe of salvation. Thank Him for it right now. Leave on Him. No spots and no blemishes. You know, even if you come to the altar, you're going to say, well, somebody will think I backslid on God if I go to the altar. No, if they're thinking that, they got spots and blemishes and wrinkles in their own robes. And yeah, we think we've got forever, but today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. The people that died yesterday thought they had today to do whatever they wanted to do. I just want to say this for the young people. Young people, you're at the age that it's time to really seek God in your life and heart. I was your age, and I thank God you're in the right place. You're studying God's Word, and you're letting God talk to your hearts. That's what you got to do. Talk to God, and let Him talk to you. Anybody else wants to come to all of these altars open? Not, I just asked you to pray where you're at today.
Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. Come on. And all, everyone sing, to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.